Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What was that stat on Cam Newton you were just reading me, Diesel, off air?
No, that was a stat on Eli Manning.
Oh, Eli Manning.
He's got the most interceptions and most losses in the NFL since his last Super Bowl win.
Well, it's
meaning he fell off the cliff hard.
Right? And not only that, people who are New York Giants fans think that he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, for some reason people are defending him. I don't get it.
The Eli Manning going to the Hall of Fame debate is the most stupid sports talk New York garbage that you could possibly... Here's the thing. As somebody who grew up on New York sports talk garbage, that is the biggest.
He's
of
a supremely likable guy. You got to like a lot about...
No.
The way he's conducted himself.
Absolutely,
you got to like a lot about Eli Manning.
Oh,
but
come on.
Hall of Fame, get out of here.
No, come on. Here's the problem. Eli Manning would not have been a professional if not for the name on the back of his jersey. Let's get one thing straight here. Yes, he's a winner. Yes, he has two Super Bowls. Yes, he has two Super Bowl MVPs. Do you know what his career record is as a quarterback? You know what his career win-loss record is as a quarterback?
Probably not good.
It is exactly 500.
Ouch.
116 and 116 as a quarterback. And you want him to be your latex salesman? Come on. Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer. Just like Andy Pettit is not a Hall of Famer, despite the fact that he has the biggest playoff ERA of all time. Just like Robert Horry is not a Hall of Famer. Just like Julian Edelman is not a Hall of Famer. Just like all of these other people who were great in the playoffs. Mediocre in the regular season. Not Hall of Famers. But he'll probably get in the Hall of Fame because he turns himself into a Hall of Famer because he has the name on his back. And Archie will probably raise hell. And Peyton will probably raise hell. And they'll give him a stupid blazer. And he'll get his day in the sun. And they're going to retire his jersey and be the greatest Giant quarterback of all time. And this is coming from somebody who absolutely abhors the Giants. Don't say, oh, Willie P, you're just coming off of a New York. You started this. You started it. Got me started on Eli Manning. Eli Manning Hall of Fame thing literally just drives me up a wall and around the corner.
You New Yorkers, it's so easy to trigger you on Eli Manning.
Well, no. Trigger the dudes from up there who were just all over him and defensive of him. I won't defend him at all. I think he's terrible. I think they should have punted on Eli Manning 2 years ago when they had the chance. But the problem is they didn't want to use Geno Smith.
Zach Brown's in love with Eli Manning. I can't believe he hasn't called in.
Come on. Eli Manning's trash. So is Cam Newton, for that matter. Text from the 864, Cam, if healthy, would be picked up in a heartbeat. The Jets, Dolphins, and Raiders could all use competent quarterbacks. Here's the problem, Texter. Cam isn't healthy. Cam hadn't been healthy all year. That's the problem.
Cam hadn't been healthy in 3 years.
You could argue. Well, no, last year he was healthy for the start of the year. But then, you know, second half of the year, he wasn't. But again, have I triggered the Eli calls coming in now? Have I triggered the Eli? See, this is a problem. When I say things like Tua Tagovailoa is a fraud, people take me as being serious. Like, you have to understand my tone, the tone of my voice. Like, when I say Tua Tagovailoa is a fraud, I don't really mean he's a fraud, like, and he stinks. But I'm just saying I don't think he's all he's cracked up to be. And that's kind of what I think about Eli Manning. He's not all he's cracked up to be. I struggle. I don't know if I should take this phone call because I guarantee you I know exactly what this is going to be. This is exactly going to be something against me. Is this going to be a slam? Is this going to be Willie P being slammed?
Fingers meet buzzsaw.
Let's go to Tony. All right, Tony, why am I wrong about Eli Manning?
Well, first of all, I agreed with you about Tua. Okay, I agree with you about him not being able to make the throws and all of that. However, first, you said Eli Manning would not even be a professional football player if not for his last name. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. He owns almost all the passing records at Ole Miss, which I guess he wouldn't have got in if his last name wasn't Manning also. Mm. But let me ask you, is Joe Namath, in your mind, a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay, because he's not. He's 62-67. He only won 62 games.
He has more
quarterback.
Joe Namath had more interceptions than touchdowns in his career.
Okay, so we agree on that. So it's kind of hard for me to keep going on Eli. So I do agree Eli's a Hall of Famer. How many Super Bowl MVPs and are not in the Hall of Fame? That's kind of how.
It's hard. It's hard, and I appreciate the call, Tony. Thank you so much for being a part. That's a topic that I've that's something that I've put forth and said before with Joe Namath, and it's made my father, who raised me, to root for the stupid New York Jets. It basically has made him want to cry whenever I say that about Joe Namath. Scott tweets us at ESPN Upstate. Good show, guys. Who is more Hall eligible, Phil Simms or Eli Manning? Well, obviously, Eli Manning. I see more Hall eligible would be Eli Manning, but Phil Simms is not Hall eligible in any sense of the imagination. Neil goes, and Peyton is 186-79. I bet you put him top five, right? Here's the thing about Peyton Manning. I don't think Peyton Manning.
I could tell Tony was setting you up with that Joe Namath question.
I know he was. And guess what? I passed the test. I don't think Peyton Manning's top five. Who would be my top five? Brady, Montana. I'm thinking. Don't worry, I'm thinking. Peyton would probably have to be top five. How do you feel
Young?
About Young didn't play long enough. How do you feel about Breeze top five?
Not about top five, but he's certainly, if he's not five, he's 5A. He's right in there.
Here's the thing about Peyton. Peyton was a great regular season quarterback, though.
Yeah.
186-79. He's trying to say 186-79. Is that similar to 116-116? Like, is that wrong? I mean, that's 70 more
those
wins.
Those aren't slouch numbers.
70 more wins. I would say Peyton's in the top five. Now that I think about it. Marino, 4. And Elway. I'd go Elway. Elway got there a lot. Elway's got 2. So there you go. Those are 5. Brady, Montana, Peyton Manning, Elway.
Nobody
Marino.
From the vaunted Dallas Cowboys, now that you've triggered the entire state of Texas?
Oh, Troy Aikman has the most hollow numbers in the history of the National Football League. trust me.
Star Nation is about to descend upon you right now.
Troy Aikman's numbers are not that good. It's just not.
Did you hear that sound? That was a trumpet out in the parking lot. Big D Nation, assemble!
Troy Aikman is not even in the top 20 in passing yards in all time in the National Football League. You have to go all the way down to see. I love how you completely you derail it. Troy Aikman is 38th all time in passing. Y.A. Tittle had more yards than he did, and he played in the 40s and 50s. He was a rookie in 1948, and Aikman had less yards than he did. Sonny Jurgensen had about as many yards as Aikman had. Played about 10 more years, but still. That's the thing. Troy Aikman, his numbers are the most hollow numbers in the history of the National Football League. And yet he's a Hall of Famer. How, I ask you, how?
The real question is, does Eli feel like a Hall of Famer?
Eli doesn't feel like a Hall of Famer.
Does he feel like a Hall of Famer? That's where it all comes from, man. Does he feel like a Hall of Famer?
No. No, he doesn't.
Does it make you feel good to have him in the Hall?
My father just texted me. He's angry now.
Are you welcome home for Thanksgiving?
He texted Bradshaw. I don't even like Bradshaw. Bradshaw's numbers aren't that good either. They're not! Look at the numbers!
How does it feel to be a disappointment?
Bradshaw's numbers aren't that good either. Bradshaw. Here's Bradshaw, okay? You want to know the passing yards on Bradshaw? He's 60th. 60th in passing yards. 60th. He's behind Jaworski and Trent Green. Okay?
Who?
Trent Green, who does television. So does he, for the record. I almost want to take a picture of where the rundown was supposed to be at 6:03, and we have spent 10 minutes on this stupid debate all because you got me started on Eli Manning, you troll.
All I did was point out a graphic that was on television. Maybe you should not be so easily swayed.
Right, maybe you should just turn off the television. I know we have the television on in case breaking news happens. No, I don't think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. No, I don't think he should be in just because he's seventh in passing yards doesn't mean I think he's a Hall of Famer. He didn't win the last half of his career. You said he dropped off a cliff. Dropped off a cliff.
It's like Wile E. Coyote. Just ran out over the edge and...
I mean, it's
that was the sound of him hitting the ground.
It was the sound of him hitting the ground. How many Pro Bowls did Eli Manning go to? Four. With the four Pro Bowls. So there you go. Again, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of Eli Manning. That's going to tell me. He says, how many rings? He had two. He had two. Eli Manning had two rings. Bradshaw had four rings. He said, the rings thing doesn't make... this is the thing. People think that the rings thing makes a big difference. The rings thing makes no difference. Mark Rippon has a Super Bowl ring. Doug Williams has a Super Bowl ring.
Multiple Super Bowl rings not weigh things a little heavily, a little more heavily in their favor. You can have less than stellar career stats, but if you're going out there and winning Super Bowls...
He says, this is why we disagree, because you're always wrong, LMFAO. You were seriously putting Peyton third in front of Elway. No, I wasn't putting
him in. The fact that your dad uses LMFAO.
No, this is from Neil. This is from Gator Neil.
Okay.
You're putting Peyton third in front of Elway and didn't even include Breeze Young, or are you freaking kidding me, Johnny Unitas?
I was giving Mr. Pelagic a lot of credit there.
No, he doesn't have those. Johnny Unitas is in the discussion.
I'm Mr. Pelagic.
Unitas is in the discussion. Let's say Unitas is in the discussion. This, you know what this is? This is a June debate in the middle of September.
The thing is, we're doing
a June sports talk topic.
These are 24/365 topics because people care all year round. They care.
Unitas is fine. I have no problem with Unitas. I don't like Breeze. Maybe I just don't like Breeze. Am I somebody who just doesn't like Breeze?
I don't know. You tell me.
I just don't like Breeze. Dad says hello. Todd is calling. Todd, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
I agree with you totally. Super Bowl rings don't count. And if we want to be truthful about it, the two rings he's got were because of two catches that were one in a million that were made that led them to that Super Bowl.
By two guys who are relative nobodies now, David Tyree and Mario Manningham did diddly in the league.
Exactly. And I heard you say that he had four Pro Bowl selections. Well, I don't know if you can find out, but my question would be, were these true Pro Bowl selections he got, or was he voted in as an alternate for somebody and didn't actually earn it?
It's very, very true. He was voted as a Pro Bowler in 2015 when they went 6-10.
Wow.
Actually, okay, these are the records the years that he went to the Pro Bowl. 2008, 12-4, that was the one Super Bowl year. 2011 was the other Super Bowl year, 9-7. So he basically was voted in those years, didn't play, obviously, in the Pro Bowl, because if you go to the Super Bowl, you don't play in the Pro Bowl. And then he was voted to the Pro Bowl the next year in 2012 when they were 9-7. So there you go. Very good call. You said Eli fan on the call screener. I thought he was going to sound there and be positive. So there you go. So Todd actually has my back on it. We were talking Cam Newton earlier. Texter from the 864 says, Rivera thought repeating positive affirmations concerning Cam Newton's health to the media would heal Cam. Hashtag subconscious mind. Aikman nameth god-awful stats. Thank you. Thank you very much.
My only point regarding rings and career stats that there is more than one statistical category that can get you into the Hall of Fame. And you can have – the question is, how do you weight each statistical category? And can one, even if you have less than stellar numbers in one, can another that you have great numbers in weigh you in?
I'm pointing at you. I know you see you pointing at you because I'm trying to remember what I was going to say because while you're talking. Now, because Clay gave me the reason why I don't like Breeze. I was trying to think of, because you can go, when you're doing a radio show, a lot of times it's very, very hard to think and speak at the same time. This is very, unless you have what is written in front of you. Like, we're doing this segment completely off the cuff. I had something else completely planned here that is very, very antithetical to what we actually were going to do. That we are doing radio on the fly.
You're like Will Ferrell in Old School when he blacks out and wins a debate.
Well, guess what? I found out, not found out, but Clay reminded me in my subconscious why I hate Breeze. Drew Breeze, outside of the Superdome, sucks. He sucks outside of the Superdome. He is awful outside of the dome. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. Sorry. Was that too emphatic? Was that too emphatic? Was that a little much?
I'm surprised you didn't add a little sucks.
He is stinks outside the Superdome.
to see your bangs bounce when you do that. That's funny.
He also says, Clay says Andy Pettit's a Hall of Fame rat, too. That's also very true. That was fun. I haven't had fun doing a segment that I didn't plan more than that little bit of 20 minutes of radio there.
That was a fun little train wreck, wasn't it?
That was so bad. Sometimes that makes the best radio sometimes. And we're getting people.
Hashtag derail Willie P.
And people, that's the thing. I think you have this newfound love and desire to get me off schedule and off topic in any way possible. And you have succeeded at least at the 6 o'clock hour here today. And just to reward you, I'm going to do what we had scheduled in the next segment, which is an idea that came as a result of your blog, which you can find at ESPNUpstate.com. Diesel wants to bring a European idea here. And no, we're not talking about not shaving legs. We're talking about the idea of potential relegation in the world of college football. What does that mean? Diesel will explain to you and me next on ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Scott tweets us his top five NFL quarterbacks of all time. Brady, Favre, Montana, Moon.
Wait, Jackie Moon?
No, Warren Moon.
Warren Moon?
With a 5A of Marino and 5B of Manning. Warren Moon.
Just because you could play him on NBA Jam doesn't mean that he's Hall of Fame worthy.
Right?
Although it was really fun playing Warren Moon on NBA Jam.
I have met Warren Moon. I know Warren Moon. I have had Warren Moon on radio shows. I have partied with Warren Moon. Warren Moon would not tell you he is the top five quarterback of all time. Just saying. And you, sir, are no Warren Moon. Is that the way that was supposed to start? Was the way that was supposed to end? No. Neil says both wide receivers being worth a darn makes it more impressive for Eli. If it were Tom Brady, we would be saying, "Look who we won with." Tom Brady didn't win with anybody. He says you're talking about Drew Brees. Dude played 15 games, 15 straight seasons, top three in almost every category. He could kick your ass. Would Brees be anything without Sean Payton? Though, let's be real. In San Diego,
I don't know, but that's a slap fight I would pay to see.
Me and Drew Brees?
Yeah.
He already has like that little thing on his cheek there.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That little thing. What is that thing?
I'm sure.
Is it a birthmark? Really?
I don't know.
It's some sort of.
It's a beauty mark.
It's a beauty mark. What is he? What is he? Marilyn Monroe now? Is he Marilyn now? Come on. 844 GSP ESPN is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. I want to get in a little bit of Georgia Notre Dame just because it is the biggest game of the year later on in the program. I was thinking about possibly trying to go to it. Let's just say I've been largely deterred in that respect. Again, part of the reason we started the hour with that particular discussion was that of Eli Manning. Let's get to your relegation.
Yeah.
Topic. I will delegate to you so you can talk about relegation in college football in the blog that you can find at ESPNUpstate.com.
There's a lot of college football teams out there that straight up stink. Bottom halves of conferences stink. You can try to tell me all day that ESPN is spending millions and millions of dollars for the SEC as a whole. Baloney. They're paying millions of dollars for Alabama, LSU, Georgia, maybe Florida every now and again, but not right now. They're not paying millions of dollars to put Vanderbilt and Ole Miss on television. They're not paying millions of dollars to put Duke and Wake Forest on television. There are a lot of football programs out there that stink. And if anybody knows anything about European soccer, they have many layers of performance in these leagues. As a matter of fact, the English Premier League, I believe, has 8 layers. And you have the ability...
They're like an onion.
Yes. You have the ability as a program or a franchise that's in the lower levels to perform well and move up to the next level. And I think that's something we need in college football. Basically, the way that it works is that in a league, in Tier 1 English Premier League, the bottom 3 teams get relegated down to Tier 2. The first and second teams in Tier 2 automatically get moved up to Tier 1. And then the next 4 teams have an opportunity to play off and see who gets that third spot.
Right.
And I believe this is a system that we really need in college football because there are many, many programs out there, albeit the Wake Forests, maybe not so much this year, but in many years past, the Iowa States of the world. These franchises are riding the coattails of a decision that was made, 75 years ago, plus, that they just so happen to be associated with them still today. There are a lot of programs out there that stink that maybe need an opportunity to drop back down a level and right the ship before they could potentially move back up. Tennessee, I'm sorry. Tennessee, you are not going to become a power in the SEC again for a long time because any powers in the SEC are just going to keep knocking you back down. They're going to put their proverbial boot on your forehead, say ho, 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 push you down the slide. Sorry, it's really difficult to get up off that mat.
I was saying that the Big 12 should have relegated Kansas a long time ago, but then they messed around and beat Boston College.
Kansas is a prime example. Rutgers is a prime example. Wouldn't fans rather see the best possible teams they could have in their conference? And how do you do that? You jettison the teams that are historically underperforming in favor of teams that are overperforming at the level below them. So why not, very simply, align each Power 5 conference with a geographically relevant Group of 5 conference and do relegation that way?
I'm glad you mentioned the State University of New Jersey, colloquially known as Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers has been living off of the charm. The charm. Remember that Thursday night football game that Rutgers played against Louisville way back when they were both in this conference that was called, wait for it, the Big East, 2006. 13 years ago that game was on a Thursday night. I remember this because I was actually in Syracuse, New York, with my father on a college visit.
Hi, Mr. Pelagic.
He's stunned that I remember this, too. And we watched that game in the Syracuse, New York, Crown Plaza or Sheraton or whatever the heck it was, that hotel that's on campus right there. And we thought, man, Rutgers, what is this win going to do for Rutgers? What did it do for Rutgers? That game sits in the mind of any time you thought of Rutgers football over the better part of the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. That win is what got them into the Big Ten. And look at what has happened while they've been in the Big Ten. Well, these are the last four records for Rutgers. 1-11, 4-8, 2-10, 4-8.
Oof.
You mean to tell me that that is a Big Ten program?
And that's worthy of, what are they making? $36 million a year on television revenue in the Big Ten?
Their head coach, Chris Ash, has a career record at Rutgers of 7-29.
Oh, dreadful.
That hurts.
Dreadful.
Oy.
So, simply, pair up the Pac-12 with the Mountain West. It's actually a really good Group of Five conference. Pair up the American Athletic with the SEC. Pair up the western half of the Sun Belt and the western half of Conference USA with the Big 12, the eastern half with the ACC, the MAC with the Big 10. Bob's your uncle. It's easy. It's tidy. You keep your teams in a geographic footprint to keep your fans and their travel happy. Really, Georgia fans,
mm-hmm.
Auburn fans,
mm-hmm.
Alabama fans.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason you like beating up on Vanderbilt is because it's familiar to you.
No, the reason they like beating up on Vanderbilt is that you get to go to Nashville once every 2 years.
But what if you got to jettison Vanderbilt for a year or two, bring in a Central Florida?
Right.
What if you got what if they're not good, jettison them and bring in a Memphis?
They would never want to be. They would never want to glorify Central Florida of being ever worthy to be even be in the same
other than
building.
Familiarity, there's no reason why you should want Vanderbilt football in your conference. None.
By the way, Rutgers did beat UMass to lead off the season.
Whoa.
The same UMass that you love to tell us that hung half a hundred, or that Charlotte hung half a hundred on.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to be sure that we wanted to be sure they put 48 points up on UMass. 48 points up on UMass. This mighty Charlotte program that you continue to
look out.
You are like the Mother Teresa
look
of the group
out.
Of five. You are the Mother Teresa of the group of five.
There's some really good consequences of this. You could possibly keep a coach at a group of five school longer because you have the ability to get your team into a Power Five conference. And you get to keep them around because you say, hey, Scott Satterfield at App State, stick around, get us into a Power 5 conference. All of a sudden, we're going to be making a lot more money off of TV revenue, and we're going to give you a $1 million bonus or more.
Despite how implausible I believe this idea is, because I think it's incredibly implausible.
Sure it is.
I'm not
saying it's realistic. I'm just saying it's a good idea.
I like it. No, I'm saying, I'm telling you, I like it. You thought I was going to say something mean. I like it. I find it implausible because you're dealing with the rigidity of people who, by the way, believe that student athletes shouldn't be paid. Now you actually get to the point where you he just texted me, why do you remember that? I would tell this because I'm Will Pelagic and I have the memory thing. No, but the fact that the people here have the rigidity is that they want these traditional matchups, especially in the SEC. The SEC, the SEC cares more about tradition than anything.
But playing Vanderbilt is just a traditional butt whooping,
right?
And what's the fun in that? Wouldn't you want your conference to be better and as good as it possibly could be?
Well, you want to know why they keep Vanderbilt around because Vanderbilt just brings up the GPA of all the other schools. It's like when they say things, oh, well, we have all these schools that achieve well. Vanderbilt brings up the curve, if you will, in the in the GPA of the SEC schools. I'm serious. You're laughing at me. I'm telling you, that's the reason.
And again, the point of relegation is it gives you an opportunity to drop down, right the ship, and possibly get back up in there. If you're a Vandy and all of a sudden you get relegated down and you get to play in the American Athletic Conference, shouldn't you have the athletes that are good enough to get you right back in the show in the next year or two?
It's very hard to recruit at Vanderbilt. It's very hard.
Okay, Georgia Tech. I don't know.
It's even harder. It's even harder to recruit there.
Kansas.
See, now they've actually had a modicum. I'll say a modicum. Let's get out.
Yeah.
Out of control.
If you're a Kansas,
there are points in their history where they've had blips of football success.
If you're a Kansas and you get relegated back to the Sun Belt West,
this would be a football
conference only. USA West. Yeah, it'd be a football only thing
because their basketball more than anything makes up for their placing in the Big 12.
You should have the athletes in the Hogs that could possibly win that conference in the next season or two and get you right back into the show. Now, of course, you have to figure out money. You'd have to figure out television contracts. But again, in the end, you're strengthening your conference on a merit-based system. These teams in the group of five are better than what we've got at the bottom half of our league. Let's do a swap. And guess what? You have a way to get back in. All you got to do is go out there and win, baby.
All I do is win, no matter what. Here's the problem. I don't think if you relegated Vanderbilt, I don't know if they'd ever make it back into the SEC.
Well, that's their problem. And you got UCF now, and you're a better conference for it.
Could you imagine? Here's the problem, though. I don't like UCF because they are so high off their own supply. UCF is high off their own supply. That Danny White guy, I've never met that guy, but he sounds like...
You know what? I like it, though.
He sounds like he lives on a planet that is delusional.
They had to buy into their own hype because nobody will let them in. There's not somebody standing at the rope kind of unhooking it and saying, hey, guys, come on in.
You know what, Danny
White? You got to break your way in. And they're, you know, again, yeah, they're a little smug about it. They're a little willy pee about it. But you know what?
Whoa.
Just making sure you're paying attention. But it's a glass ceiling and you got to shatter your way through.
You know what Danny White sounds like? Danny White sounds like the kind of guy who's going to sit there and tell you that Charlotte is the biggest game of the year and the most explosive team. I can't say that. That's not right. That's not right. We can't say anything bad about Dabo, guys. It's not right. You're not allowed to say anything bad about Dabo. Dabo went on the air in Charlotte this morning, by the way. I don't know if you saw that. Hi, Dabo. How you doing? Remember me? I'm the guy who was the reason you own a thesaurus now. You notice that when he went on his little speakers tour this summer, he started using bigger words? Like he started using...
Oh, God. Don't take credit for this.
It's very much so.
Don't be a Willy P. Don't take credit for this.
I'm sorry.
I'm not allowed to... I'm going to turn you into a verb.
I'm not allowed to take credit for William Christopher Sweeney broadening his horizons. You love when I use his full name, don't you?
I do.
You love
what... I do.
It's the thing. Us Williams have to stick together. Let's see, who else is a Willie? We got Sweeney, we got Pelagio, we got Mush. No, never mind. It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. No, I will not claim Will Muschamp for Christ our Savior. We'll come back. We will. I'll talk a little bit about Notre Dame, Georgia. Also, get into some more Clemson, South Carolina talk. We haven't done a lot of that in this hour. Some of you might have actually liked that part. Others of you want to get back to the Gamecocks and Tigers as well. We'll continue ESPN Upstate. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. That is, I tell you what, I wish I could have any of my firings transition into becoming a resignation. That's what I want. Why do these colleges think that they can just completely, like, transform language into things that don't happen.
Reality is what we say it is.
We're all gonna remember what happened to Rick Pitino. Like, honestly. Like, to use a phrase out of my mother's mouth, is my stupid light on? We all know what happened with Rick Pitino. Come on.
You know, it's probably to help him out, help him get his next job.
No, he's
I know
not
whoever,
getting...
I know whoever is interviewing or is hiring, they're going to know what he did. But officially, that's not what happened.
No, here's the problem, man. Like, people know. And again, this is like I said earlier, he's not trying to get a job in college athletics anymore. He's trying to get a job in the NBA. The NBA, they don't care whether he ran afoul of the NCAA. They just care if he knows X's and O's and can be a basketball coach. I made the comparison to Quinn Snyder earlier. Quinn Snyder was at Missouri until the 05-06 season, and he was awful when it came to the NCAA rules. Put Missouri in some very, very bad sanctions. But it had nothing to do with his aptitude as a basketball coach. And those NCAA recruiting restrictions are part of the reasons why North Carolina was able to go up and get Tyler Hansbrough out of the state of Missouri and play in North Carolina, because while Hansbrough was being recruited, he couldn't leave campus. So that was part of the reason why that program went in the tank at the time it was, in the latter part of his career. But it had nothing to do with him and his aptitude as a basketball coach. He's looked at as one of the best X's and O's guys. That's why he was hired, because he came out of Duke. He was a Coach K guy. And he ended up having to, you know, repair his reputation a little bit, went through the G League route, coached the Austin Toros for a couple of years, and then worked his way through. And now he's coached the Denver Nuggets. He ran afoul of the NCAA law, still got himself a job. Rick Pitino can do the same thing, regardless of whether or not it was characterized as a resignation or a firing. Why does everybody think that this Notre Dame-Georgia game is going to be close? Like, am I looking at this and am I seeing it differently?
Notre Dame will be officially exposed and eliminated from the playoff.
Look no further than the Cotton Bowl last year to see what happens when Notre Dame gets put on the field alongside an elite team. And this is a true road game. Like, Notre Dame had a lot of fans in Dallas. It might be a representative alumni base in the Southeast who has been waiting for this game for their entire lives. People who eschewed the upper Midwest lifestyle to come live in our great American Southeast. But there's going to be a lot of red in those stands. And Georgia football fans are going to be rabid. They're going to be loud. And they're going to be proud. And let me tell you, when them Georgia Bulldogs take the field against Notre Dame, it's going to be ugly. Ugly. I don't see Notre Dame coming within 30 points.
30? 30! 30!
I don't see Notre Dame coming within 30 points.
Georgia beat Arkansas State by 55.
I think.
Comparing Notre Dame and Arkansas State, they're...
I think we're going to get
20 points better than Arkansas State.
You know, Georgia's backup quarterback's name is Stetson Bennett.
It's a great Southern name.
Stetson Bennett. I think we're going to see a lot of Stetson Bennett in the second half. By the way, we're seeing a lot of James Cook, too. It's funny how everybody was talking about Zamir White being the star when it came into coming into Georgia, because the fact that he tore his ACL last year and didn't necessarily get any playing time, obviously, because of that, being the guy who was the heir apparent. They're looking more at James Cook now. Cook, of course, is also doing a lot of wide receiver stuff because they've been so down at wide receiver because of the dismissal that took place involving J.J. Holland. Georgia is proving, once again, to me, that they are on the level pegging of Alabama and Clemson. I really do. And... you know, regardless of everybody sitting here and saying that, you know, the SEC can't get two teams in, show me a team that's on the level of Alabama and Clemson that's close to where Georgia is. Maybe Oklahoma. Certainly not Ohio State or Michigan right now. At least I don't think. I don't think anybody in the Pac-12. I don't think anybody else in the Big 12. I think Georgia's there. I think Georgia's going to expose the heck out of Notre Dame. Not necessarily that they were necessarily any good in our minds, at least. But I think they're going to expose Notre Dame. And here's the other part of this, too. This game on the secondary market, get in price, 295 on StubHub. I was halfway thinking about going.
I thought it'd be higher than that.
295. It's the most expensive regular season college football game in ages. Eons. And that place holds 92,000 now. That's not a small stadium. I was going to try to go, but not anymore. Oh, well. 844-GSP ESPN, the phone number, 71307 is the text line. We'll let you know what was left on the cutting room floor when we come back on ESPN Upstate. My apologies if I said the Nuggets for Quinn Snyder. I meant to say the Utah Jazz. My fault. It's what happens when you let the inmates run the asylum. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking about you over there, Mr. and your hang loose. You went to a concert last night, by the way, I saw. You were rather emotional about the...
I did. All That Remains and Lacuna Coil.
I don't know.
Right over here across the street from the radio station.
Very nice.
The cool thing, Lacuna Coil was my first ever radio interview in 2006.
Right.
I even posted a photo. So if you want to see Little Baby Diesel, 2006 edition, Instagram,
I saw
Diesel
the,
on radio.
I saw the picture. It ended up showing up on my Twitter as well, I believe.
Yeah, I think I put it on Twitter also.
Yeah, so I saw it. You can follow him at Diesel on Radio. Follow me at Willie P. Style. My first interview was... a gentleman who actually is still the sports director of the TV station that I worked for, Chris Trevino. He was the first interview that I had there just because when I was in radio, needed somebody who was at least a comfortable person with me to give me a little bit more confidence. And he was the first interview that I had on the first ever sports show that I did 13 years ago. Very much different than this one. Speaking of Missouri, we're going to have our opposition research tomorrow. We'll look into both Missouri and Charlotte. We're going to have David Scott of the Charlotte Observer to talk about the amazing Charlotte 49ers. The
150
amazing.
Points in three games.
I'm going to punch you. I'm literally going to punch you. I'm going to reach across the console, and I'm going to punch you.
Well, our listeners don't think you can beat up Drew Brees, so I think I'm safe.
Apparently. Apparently, that's... never seen such lack of confidence. Justice believes South Carolina will upset someone this year, and I'm not buying beating Missouri as an upset. 57% of you said that South Carolina is the toughest opponent left for Clemson on the schedule. 20 say UNC, 18% say NC State. Only 5% of you believe that Florida State gives them a puncher's chance. And we'll also tomorrow talk with somebody from the Missouri side, my good friend Matt Michaels, who is the afternoon drive host of The Big Show on KTGR Radio in Columbia, Missouri, will join us at 421 tomorrow as well. Why does that sound familiar to you? Well, I don't know. It's because that was the station that I started at in beautiful Columbia, Mo. So good college buddy of mine who now hosts the show that I basically built.
Where you're no longer welcome.
I'm no longer welcome there. Although I still have, I probably still have an open tab or two somewhere in there that will not get settled this weekend by virtue of the fact that I will not be there. So sorry. To the Chamber of Commerce. Although I'm sending everybody everywhere else, maybe that they can make up my my outstanding debts as some sort of restitution to the effect. Great show today, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to John for helping out on the board as well. Thanks to you, Diesel, and thanks to you, listeners, for still recovering Mark Sturgis. I'm Will Pelagic saying so long, South Carolina.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.